To continue these thoughts on these talks on sampajana, clear comprehension or clear recognition. And I love this particular word because of how it overlaps with the simplicity of mindfulness practice, just simple, recognize how things are, and the richness of a contemplative life, a life that's lived reflectively. And both have a role and a place in our lives. There are times where I thought that the way that Buddhist meditation has been taught in the West, especially in the Vipassana, sometimes in the Zen world, I have the sense that there's such a strong emphasis on non-discursive awareness, simply being aware in the simplest possible way, and letting go of thoughts, and that there's people get the message that they're not supposed to be thinking at all. And certainly in meditation, it's helpful to quiet the thinking mind and have become really quiet, maybe still. But for a wider life, there's a time for a quiet mind, a still mind, and there's a time for reflection and contemplation. And I think of a reflective life as one that it can be calm. When I use the word contemplative as a life of reflection, deep reflection, I associate very much with calm reflection, considering, thinking about our lives and pondering and in a way that is intimate and cozy and nice just to do, to be engaged in contemplation of the nature of our life, what we're up to. And so this clear comprehension encompasses both these areas, a quiet, kind of non-discursive awareness, and then also this contemplative life, in a sense. And so yesterday was of the four kinds of clear comprehension is clear comprehension of purpose, why we're doing something. And the second is a clear comprehension of suitability, of what's appropriate, how to engage in something, what actions, what behavior, what ways of thinking perhaps, that are suitable for the purpose we have. And there's this analogy that if you try to squeeze oil out of gravel, it won't work. If you want oil, you have to take olives or sesame seeds or something and really squeeze them to get the oil out. And so in the same way, so we have to kind of know what's suitable for the purposes we have. So if you're trying to become kinder and you do it through aggressive straining, it's kind of like trying to squeeze oil out of the gravel. We have to kind of find the suitable way to be or what the right approach for something. And I think there's this reflection on suitability. What's right for me? What's the way that I can do whatever I've set my mind on, given my weaknesses and my strengths, given my interests, given what nourishes me and benefits me, and given what the situation requires and what's needed in the situation, what's suitable? What's the right thing to do? And so it's a life of reflection and questioning suitability as opposed to looking for a policy, looking for what is the right way to do something. Maybe if I just get the manual and just follow it like, meditation by the numbers or Buddhism by the numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and just, but it's not something rote. It's not something there's a fixed way that we should do things, but rather if we do things as is appropriate for the circumstance of who we are in the situation. And so being reflective about suitability, what's the right way to do this? So if the one's purpose is to follow the Buddhist path to greater and greater forms of liberation, freedom, to follow the Buddhist path to really kind of clarify and bring it to an end, our suffering, we can ask, that's a great purpose. Now, what's suitable for this? If we spend a lot of time watching movies on our computer, and we justify it by saying, well, I need to relax so that I can, you know, get on with Buddhist practice. But if we spend an inordinate amount of time doing this relaxing, watching movies, it probably is not suitable for the purposes of becoming free of suffering. It might give relief from some of the suffering, but it doesn't really get to the bottom of it and really penetrate it. And so what do you do in your daily life? What are the activities you're involved in? Which are suitable for the purpose you have and which are not? If your purpose you have is, you know, one of many things you're doing, and you've slotted in here and there, and then the idea of suitability varies. But if your idea of what your purpose of life is really like, this is what central orientation, the central thing I want my life to be about, nothing else matters. Or say it differently, everything matters, but everything has to matter through the lens of my dedication to living a life of freedom, my dedication to living a life of compassion and care. And that's the purpose of my life. And so what's suitable what's a suitable way to express that and live that in my life? And do I infuse everything I do with those qualities? Or do I limit what I do and only do those things that are really for that purpose? And it's possible to live a life that everything we do is organized around the principle of compassion or care for self and others. Everything's organized around the principle or the purpose of to becoming free of suffering and to have the flourishing of wholesome states within. Not in a selfish way or hedonistic way, but because this is really beneficial for self and other. It's better than the alternative to keep suffering and being contracted and stressed. And if we're really clear about having a central purpose like that, then what's suitable to support that? How can we live our life then in a way that we clearly see and reflect that this is the way that supports what I'm trying to do in my life and leads me to further and further along this path like this? And perhaps there are things in that kind of contemplation, we realize, well, this is not suitable. This is not helping me. This is kind of a waste of time. And this life of ours is quite precious, and we don't have that much time to be alive. And time goes by quickly. So I might as well do the things that are most meaningful, most purposeful, including, if we understand the path of liberation, is to enter into, like, meditation, where we let go of the preoccupation with meaning, the preoccupation with purpose, because we have it, and it's there to really sit and be present for our experience in a deep, intimate way. So suitability. What is suitable? And that also involves in our work life, our social life. And there's a way that in Zen practice, sometimes they ask a question that's I relate to this suitability. I think it's a beautiful question to a way to go through one's life. And that is, what's the request here? What are we being asked? So if, inanimate objects, things, there's a feeling in Zen, what is being asked for here? What's the request? So rather than coming from our desires, our wishes, our what we want, and asserting ourselves on others and the world, it's rather, what is suitable in this situation? What's the appropriate response in this situation? What is the request of this situation? And so tiny little event that happened, you know, 45 years ago or so. I was kind of just getting interested in Zen, And I went to the Los Angeles Zen Center. I was in L.A., and I just went there for an evening. I think there was maybe some meditation and a Dharma talk. And so there were two sessions of meditation. And then in between, we did this slow kinhin, this slow walking meditation around this small kind of a living room where everyone was meditating. And people were meditating on these black meditation futons, these little, it's called zabutons, these mats. And the person in front of me was walking slowly in front of me, and I was walking slowly behind. And I saw the person bend down to straighten out one of those black meditation mats. It was slightly gotten crooked, and they were all kind of lined up kind of nicely. And I thought that was bizarre. Why would one care enough to, straighten out the mat, it made a big impression on me, that kind of attention to detail. And I imagine that if you ask, what's the request here? What's being asked in this situation? What's being asked is to straighten the mat slightly. So exactly where the request is coming from, it's probably somewhat from our own inner sensibilities, understanding the situation, and projected onto the scene of how it is to be a human being there. But it's still coming from someplace deeper than just me, myself, and mine, what I want. And so what is being asked of me in this situation? And finding a way forward. So suitability, having a sense of purpose and knowing what's suitable for that purpose, is part of this clear comprehension, a reflective life. And so one of the things you might try doing for the next 24 hours is to reflect a little bit about not only your purpose in the things that you do, but also the suitability, is it appropriateness, or how supportive it is, the things that you do through the day. Are they suitable for your purpose? Are they supportive of some bigger purpose and value that you have? And in this kind of reflection, do you benefit as a result? Is it nice for you? Is it supportive for you? Is it suitable? So thank you very much, and continue here tomorrow.